From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. Some of what he talked about was expected. Immigration and housing, for example. Some of what he talked about seems surprising. Put in that category, Alzheimer's disease and something he called data dividends. He left out topics like police shooting legislation that might have seemed a sure thing for the speech, and there's a lot more to talk about. I'm referring to California Governor Gavin Newsom's first State of the State speech yesterday. You can find it and hear it at capradio.org with an annotated version by our Cap Radio reporters. And some of those reporters are joining me in the studio. Cap Radio's environment reporter Ezra Romero is here. Hi, Ezra.
Hello.
So let's talk about water a little bit. It was a big topic of the speech.
Yeah, he chatted about water in three different ways. The first, he talked about this idea of reducing the Delta tunnels plan to one single tunnel.
All right, let's listen to Governor Newsom from yesterday.
I do not support the water fix as currently configured, meaning I do not support the twin tunnels. We can, however, build on the important work that's already been done. And that's why I do support a single tunnel.
There were two phases to the reaction there. One was not supporting the two tunnels and then supporting the one tunnel. But when did he start talking about these alternative ideas?
He started talking about during his campaign, actually, in about October, maybe even before then. He told CalMatters and the LA Times that he's not going to be walking away from the plan, but that he would want to reduce it to one to get Southern California and the Southern Central Valley water, and the secondly to help fish species. So it's not something that's necessarily going away, and it's something he's been talking about for a while. So his mentioning it yesterday wasn't altogether new.
Is it a starting all over plan to look at one tunnel versus two?
I think it's a definite cutting down of the larger version, and it will take a lot of conversations with multiple entities to get that done. So yes and no.
Another part of his water conversation had to do with clean drinking water.
Yeah, there's this idea that there's about 6 million people in California that don't have access to clean drinking water, or that, you know, live in a district that they might have a violation. And so let's hear him talk about that.
Solving this crisis, it will demand sustained funding. But more importantly than anything else, it's going to demand political will from each and every one of us.
He wasn't necessarily specific there, but he has floated some specifics, right?
Yeah, so this isn't the first time this topic has come up, of a water tax on water for all Californians to help those that are in disadvantaged communities that have uranium and arsenic and all these other contaminants in their water. There's about 100,000 people in the San Joaquin Valley that don't have access to clean drinking water, and the governor went there last month to visit some of these people. And he said, you know, it's interesting, basically, when people in like the Hollywood Hills have clean drinking water, but the people who are in these rural small communities are paying more money than the people who live in these beautiful mansions. And so, that's what he talked about there. And the idea from last year in the legislature that didn't make it through was that every Californian would be charged about 95 cents a month, about $11.40 a year, to get all these Californians who don't have clean drinking water, safe and affordable drinking water to have in their homes.
Essentially a water tax.
Essentially a water tax.
So you expect to see that come up again.
Yeah, some iteration of that. But it hasn't passed the last two times. So we'll see what comes.
Anything to say about this new chair of the State Water Resources Board?
Yeah, so there has been talk about that Felicia Marcus might be reappointed or have someone appointed ahead of her. And that was Joaquin Esquivel. He was already on the water board. He was appointed in 2017. He grew up in the Coachella Valley, and he worked for Barbara Boxer covering agriculture and water and all that. So he has a lot of experience. He was already on the board. But there's some speculation that he's appointed because Marcus supported a decision to have more water flow down the San Joaquin River to support fish. And the agricultural community was not too happy about that. And so there's some speculation that there's been pressure to remove her from that seat of power.
I guess water would have been one of those expected topics in the speech. Overall, it's getting a lot of follow-up attention now based on what the governor did say.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of follow-up, and a lot of the things he said are in the news headlines today, even though they're not necessarily new topics. It's something that California's been going through a long time, whether it's water, trying to get water from the Northern California to Southern California for cities and farms, or whether it's getting water to those less fortunate in California who are living with the reality of water. I did a big series a couple years ago on this, and there's tons of people just on the outside of the Sacramento region and in pockets in Sacramento in the area that don't have water, the same water that comes out of your taps or my taps. So,
all right, Ezra, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for the discussion and the notations in the transcript online. That's CAP Radio Environment reporter Ezra Romero. Let's shift to healthcare issues. CAP Radio reporter Sammy Cayola is here. Hi, Sammy.
Good morning, Beth.
There were quite a few comments in this speech that you could put under the umbrella of health or healthcare.
Absolutely. A lot of them had to do with Newsom's sort of ongoing crusade for universal healthcare or healthcare for all Californians. And that could be a long-term plan for single payer or more piecemeal approaches as we go along, like more subsidies for people in covered California and even expanding Medi-Cal to undocumented people up to age 26. So he's continuing to push those messages.
Healthcare coverage might have been expected, but let's listen to part of the speech that for some people could have been a bit of a surprise.
Now let's talk about something we too often overlook. The Golden State is getting grayer. We need to get ready for this major demographic challenge headed our way.
So he's right. Seniors are often overlooked. And in his budget speech, you know, earlier last month, he mostly focused on children and childhood trauma and kids. And there wasn't as much about the older population, but it is growing. There are going to be 4 million more seniors by 2030. That's from the Public Policy Institute of California. And that population is going to nearly double over the next two decades. But there aren't going to be as many working age adults to take care of those people. So the question is, where are they going to go? Is there going to be enough long-term care? Is there going to be enough caregiving and in-home supportive workers? So big, big problems to solve.
Again, there's background and context to this issue coming forward. I understand that there had been an advocacy group that was calling for the kind of plan that he announced yesterday. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, there is this group called We Stand With Seniors that's really made this their main focus, and it's a public awareness and education campaign. They actually had talked to Newsom about this on the campaign trail, and he actually committed to making a map, a roadmap for Californians, a master plan. He said, even before he was elected, that he would do this. So, you know, they've been sort of waiting on him to come forward with that. And, you know, already we've seen legislation introduced that sort of asks the state to do a needs assessment and to map out that master plan. And, yeah, We Stand With Seniors, you know, they applauded his speech yesterday. And they actually said they think he's the first governor in recent history to even talk about aging. And, here's a little bit of what he said.
It's time for a new master plan on aging in California. We deferred for too long. Way too long. And in it, you know, it's got to address person-centered care, the patchwork of public services. It's got to address social isolation, bedlock seniors that need transportation, address the nursing shortage with LVNs and RNs, and the demand on IHSS, our in-home support services, that far outpaces its capacity.
Yeah, I just want to unpack two quick things from there. One is social isolation, which we've seen to be a huge problem, especially for seniors in rural parts of California, where they're maybe in their homes and they don't have transportation, and they can go days and days without seeing people, which we've learned is really a chronic health risk, being lonely, really affects your mental and your physical state. He also drew out the provider shortage, which health experts have been talking about for years. And, you know, we know that in a matter of, you know, 5 to 10 years, there aren't going to be enough doctors, not just for seniors, for the whole population. But seniors have some really unique medical needs. And as we said, they're growing. So it's going to be a big push to get more medical providers for them.
It's been pointed out that his personal experience might have weighed into the priority he's putting on this. His dad had been very ill and had struggled with dementia. He's been very public about that and then passed away over the holidays. And in this conversation yesterday, the governor added emphasis on Alzheimer's disease with a new task force being formed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there has been a lot of research focused just locally here at UC Davis and at research institutions across the state for finding ways to make life better for people who have Alzheimer's, because anyone who has experience with it knows it's a truly tragic and debilitating disease in some cases. And so this task force, I mean, we'll see. He proposed $3 million from the general fund in the budget, and that could go toward more research. I know he's interested in the high rates of Alzheimer's in women and in communities of color. So we might see more studies in that area, which there's sort of been a lack of. And, you know, additional research funding could be really crucial on the state level since we've seen cuts on the federal level.
And that task force, he said, will be headed by former California First Lady Maria Shriver, who was in the audience yesterday. Anything else that you pulled from his speech yesterday in the healthcare realm?
Yeah, there was a really interesting section about the intersection between homelessness and mental health issues. He talked a lot about people living on the streets who have schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, and that they need not just a shelter bed, but what they call supportive housing. So sort of board and care or transitional housing that has built in mental health services and sort of a navigator to help those people find the services they need to be successful in housing, instead of just placing them where they may not do well and they may end up back on the street. So that is something that actually Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg has been working on for many years. And so Governor Newsom just put him in charge of that on a new task force. So that's sort of interesting in the mental health realm.
All right, Sammy, thank you. I appreciate both you and Ezra joining us so that we could take a little closer look. You know, a speech gets a big platform, it comes and goes, but spending some time with the language, I think, is where we learn and understand what's being proposed. Sammy Kaola is Cap Radio's healthcare reporter. Thanks, Sammy.
Thanks, Beth.
And the PolitiFact California team has been fact-checking Gavin Newsom's speech. The fact-checking is a process that takes time. So in this sense, it was helpful when the governor's office released some excerpts in advance. Reporter Chris Nichols is in the studio with us. Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Beth.
And so you have fact-checks that were from the full speech yesterday, but focused on his immigration comments.
That's right. Given the continued national debate on that topic, the Trump administration's focus on building a wall on the southern border, we decided to focus on Newsom's statements about immigration. And early on in the speech, we really saw him push back against the idea that there's a border emergency, something that we do hear quite a bit from the president. And to do that, Newsom made several claims about immigration to talk about what he sees as the reality at the border.
So let's just state the facts. We are currently experiencing the lowest number of border crossings since 1971. In California, like our nation, our undocumented population is at the lowest level in more than a decade. Some 550,000 fewer in our state alone. Immigrants, both here legally and those without documentation, commit crime at a lower rate than native-born citizens.
There was a lot in that statement, and you looked at each of his sentences or partial sentences individually. So where do you want to begin?
Right. We broke this down into essentially three statements. The first one, that we are currently experiencing the lowest number of border crossings since 1971. And we took this to mean illegal crossings at the southwest border. And those are measured by Border Patrol arrests. And those have really plummeted in recent decades. Back in the 1980s and 90s, we saw, on average, over 1 million arrests per year. Those have dropped down to about 300,000, 400,000 in recent years. 2 years ago was, in fact, the lowest number of arrests for illegal crossings at the border since 1971. Former Governor Jerry Brown made a claim about that. We fact-checked it a year ago. It was true. What Newsom said, a very similar statement, left out the fact that there was at least somewhat of an increase in the most recent fiscal year, 2018, where arrests moved up to about 400,000. So really, the long-term trend is correct. These arrests are on the decline compared to the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. But that statement just left out the most recent fiscal year.
I know your team is following promises made on the campaign trail and how they're being kept. But in this case, did you apply the PolitiFact ratings to these statements?
We did not put any ratings on these. It was more of a summary of what was left out, what they got right. But we didn't put any formal ratings on them. Instead, we took this key section where, again, the governor was sort of pushing back about what he sees as the reality down at the border and offered people a look at what facts are in there and what maybe he omitted.
The next statement you looked at is in the middle of that comment section. Do you want to read the words again to remind us?
Sure. His next statement was that in California, like our nation, our undocumented population is at its lowest level in more than a decade, some 550,000 fewer than our state alone. And that statement is completely supported by a recent Pew Research Center report just came out a few days ago. It backs up all those figures. And we talked with a number of immigration experts, and Pew is considered one of the best authorities on those figures.
When I talk about fact-checking taking some time, you have a whole group that these statements are vetted through within the PolitiFact team, but you're reaching out to a variety of experts. And this governor is so much about transparency. Chris, are you finding it easier to follow the trail of where the facts and figures are coming from?
You know, I think that his office has done a pretty good job at this point providing evidence for where they get their information. You know, it's still early in the administration, but I think that there has been transparency, and hopefully that continues.
All right. There's one more fact check that came out of that statement.
That's right. The last statement he made was that immigrants, both those here legally and those without documentation, commit crime at a lower rate than native-born citizens. And that's another statement that we've fact-checked in the past. A couple of years ago, then-candidate for governor Antonio Villaraigosa, former Los Angeles mayor, made the same statement. We rated it mostly true. There are quite a few studies out there that do show immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, commit crimes at a lower rate than native-born citizens. There are researchers who say that more information is needed about this because citizenship is not something that's typically collected through arrests, but the vast majority of the studies out there are pointing to that being an accurate statement.
All right, Chris, thank you. And let's guide people to where there are more links, not only to the PolitiFact California team work, but the national PolitiFact as well.
The national fact checks are at PolitiFact.com, and you can read our work at PolitiFact.com/California.
Thank you, Chris Nichols. Tomorrow, I will talk more about this speech and how the governor's message is sinking in with Capitol Bureau Chief Ben Adler. And we have the full State of the State speech, also that annotated transcript at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.